on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? We're back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. And coming up this week, we'll talk a little basketball, talk a little soccer, and of course, mix in a little football as well. It's crazy to think how the football season, the volleyball season, soccer, the fall sports, they're coming to a close very, very quickly. Just three games left in the football season, two at home. Of course, soccer will play this weekend, hoping to extend their season, and volleyball just has a couple of weeks left in the regular season as well. So fall sports flying by, that means winter sports are on the way, and basketball gets its season underway on Monday with a doubleheader. The women take on York University, and the men will meet Utah Tech in the back half of a doubleheader. So it's going to get busy here over the next few weeks, and the longer we stay busy, that means more success is happening in Coyote Athletics. So let's hope for a big run here at the end of the regular season for the fall sports. Coming up in the show today, we'll get you a preview of the Fighting Hawks with Jack Michaels of North Dakota. We will also talk to Paul Fessler. He is an assistant women's basketball coach, new to the staff in the spring, and had a chance to catch up to him, but talk to him about transition from head coach to assistant, all of that. But let's get it started with soccer. Ashby Johnston has been around South Dakota soccer for a while, and she's enjoying a great season for the Coyotes. They are 7-5-6 overall. They went 3-3-2 in the conference and will host on Sunday afternoon in the quarterfinals of the Summit League tournament as they take on Kansas City. The winner is on to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the semifinals. But this week I caught up with Ashby Johnston. Ashby, your team gets set for the Summit League tournament, opportunity to play at home on Sunday. Before we get into that, just take a look at the season. What has this year been like with this group?
It's been so amazing. We've just been having a lot of fun. And I think with the group of upperclassmen that we have this year, that we have this goal that we just want to keep going as far as we can. So I think we're just leaning into the mentality of just not losing and pushing ourselves every game. Yeah.
You've been here a long time.
A long time.
You've seen a lot of soccer games and played in it. How would you describe your journey here at South Dakota?
It's been a bumpy ride at times, but I mean, more pros than cons for sure. I've met amazing people and coaches, and going through adversity with knee surgeries and stuff like that, it's been hard, but there was never a doubt in my mind that I want to come back for my sixth year and play with the group of women that we have this year, because we have such a great chance at, you know, making history like we have already. So yeah,
making history, and you're a part of it. You talk about the injuries and the recovery, and that is such a bummer when you have to go through it, and it's so challenging. Looking back now, how rewarding is it to see where this group is today?
Yeah, it's honestly I'm kind of speechless at the fact about it, because personally, when I suffered my knee injury in the spring, it was really hard for me to, like, imagine getting back on the field, but at the end of the day, I was like, I will do anything to get back on the field with these people. So all my teammates were super supportive, and we all just gather around each other when we're struggling. So I think that resonates in how we play on the field as well.
Talk about that journey to get back onto the field. Obviously a challenge, right? Yeah. And frustrating, I would imagine, at times. How do you hold that thing together and get to where you need to?
It took a lot of work. I think this summer I spent every day in rehab after I suffered my injury in the spring, and there was a chance that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to play this season. So I just kind of put my head down and just went for it and pushed myself every day. But yeah, I don't know. I think just knowing that everyone wanted to see me succeed and didn't want this to be my last year was really rewarding. So that kind of strived me to keep going every day.
So you're working hard, you're rehabbing, and you finally get that chance and you walk out onto the field. Describe the moment.
You know, the moment was like shocking. I remember my first couple games, it was hard getting back into things, getting my fitness back and all that. But one of the most amazing moments was when I was able to score against St. Thomas. It was just kind of like, whoa, like I did it. And even this year, like obviously I would want more goals and I would want an assist. I would want all these things. But after my knee surgery, I think it just kind of opened my eyes, like, wow, I'm able to step on the field right now. Like, so I don't care about the stats. I don't care about any of that. I was just so happy to play with my team again.
Obviously, you've scored a lot of goals in your career. You had 8 goals just a couple of seasons ago, and you've got 2 so far this season. I say so far because we still got soccer left. It's still opportunities. Is it harder now after the rehab and all of that to get yourself into the position maybe you did a couple of years ago?
Yes and no. I think, I don't know what it is that has changed this season. I think that we have just so much more so much more players on our field that can score goals. So, like, I don't need to be the one running in the box and doing all these things. So it's kind of nice to just be more of a playmaker this year. But the knee injury, it's more of a mental battle than it is a physical battle, I think, because on the field, I feel good and I'm getting to areas and still a big impact for the team. But mentally, it is tough sometimes coming back from a knee surgery and being like, am I going to play the same? Am I going to be able to, you know, run into a player the same? And that's something I have struggled with a little bit this season. But I'm kind of pushing it aside because it's my last couple games of soccer. So I'm just trying to have fun this year as much as possible.
Well, it's been fun. Obviously, your team has won some games and put this group in a position to where they can host a first round of the Summit League soccer tournament. You look at the last couple of years, and obviously you mentioned bumpy ride, right? Mm-hmm. That this has been for you. What has changed this year with the team as a whole that has just made it more fun? The team's in every game they play in. You've won a lot of games. You put yourself into a top 4 in the Summit League. What changed?
I think our team culture has always been great. But this year, anyone can go sit at any table and everyone is friends. Like, there is not certain groups or anything like that. We've always, you know, leaned on each other. And I think our culture has really pushed us through this year. And we just have each other's back a lot more this year.
We mentioned you're a veteran mm-hmm. on the group. How much have you been able to use some of that leadership and help some of the younger players grow? Obviously, at one point, you were young in it, but now very experienced. How much have you tried to pass some of your knowledge on?
I think it's important, like, as a leader on this team, to make everyone feel valued, whether you're playing or not playing. And I think our team has really come together to show that everyone has a purpose on this team, no matter what role you play. So I think that's why we are so tight-knit right now, is because everyone knows that they have an impact, no matter if they're a starter, if they come in late, or what it is. But yeah, so we really hone in that everyone is a big part of this team.
The goal is to win and move on to Tulsa, where you play in the semifinals of the soccer tournament. Have you grasped the idea of how special this is to get to host this matchup coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, because I think we all were going into our last home game like, wow, like, this is it. And I think now we're kind of like, okay, wait, we get another chance. So I think we're all just very happy and excited to be able to host this game, and I think we're going to come out with, you know, protecting our field on Sunday.
How do you, you know, there'll be a lot of excitement, obviously, mm-hmm. of playing one more home game, and you know this is the last home game, right? Yeah, this will be it. How do you try to harness that excitement a little bit so that you can just go out there and play the way you need to?
No, yeah, that's definitely important, like not letting the moment kind of get in front of the fact that we still have a soccer game to win. I think we just need to stick to what we've been doing because we have been successful this season. So we need to, like, calm the excitement and turn it into, like, we always say, like, be excited, but don't be panicked. So I think that's something that we are definitely going to need to do on Sunday.
You're hoping new fans come out this
yes.
week, obviously, to fill it up and make it a great environment. Mm-hmm. From your mouth to their ears, why should people come watch this team?
I think people should come watch our team because we play with so much passion and we have so many people that are, like, fun to watch and flashy. Like, Clarissa is so fun to watch. You know, she'll dribble 3 people. We have people beating people out wide. Like, we just have so much excitement on the field, and you can just see that we have so much love for each other and we love soccer. So it's just a fun environment to be around.
Obviously, you're focused on what finishes up here on the season. You got Sunday. If you get that, you get on to another one, and it's one game at a time from here on out. Looking ahead, eventually your soccer career has to come to an end, unfortunately.
No more eligibility.
Yeah, you've tried to exhaust every year you can, but unless you come up with something else, this will be it. What's next for you? What's maybe the future hopes and goals?
I think at the moment, I don't want to live without soccer, so I could see myself getting into like a coaching role or something like that, maybe moving back home to California. We'll see. Definitely still involved in sports very heavily because I couldn't imagine my life without them.
You don't want to move back to California. It's going to be way too hot after being here.
Yeah, it's actually going to be crazy. The seasons here, I'm enjoying the seasons right now.
What made you want to get into coaching?
I love helping people and being someone that everyone can come to. I think I've seen a lot of different things throughout my career. I've been injured. I haven't started. I've worked my way to starting. So I know what it takes, and I love to help people, and I would love to help, like, little kids love soccer.
Is that your goal then? Kids soccer? Is it high school? Is it college? Is it kind of see how it goes?
I think I would love to start with like a youth, maybe like a club program. I could see myself working into college, but I don't know. Kind of up in the air at the moment.
As someone who's experienced it, what do you think your message would be to somebody who maybe wants more minutes and they're not getting the opportunities, or maybe they suffer an injury and they have to work their way back and you have to earn everything? You've earned everything in your career here. What would be your message to them?
That's a good question. I would say just keep going through whatever you're going through, because there are times that you're going to want to just throw in the towel and be done. But like, there's always the light at the end of the tunnel, and just push yourself. And also, like, back to knowing your role a little bit. Like, no matter what position you are in, you are always going to be valued, no matter if you're a starter or not a starter. And I think it's important that you continue just to, like, chip away at your goals, and you're going to achieve them.
Sunday, hosting the Summit League tournament. Looking back now, can you appreciate it more, everything you've been through?
Oh, yeah. Like, I am so happy. I think after 6 years of being here, like, this is what the upperclassmen and all of us were striving for. But we're not done. We still got things to accomplish.
No doubt about it. Well, good luck this weekend and the rest of the way. Hopefully a lot more matches ahead for you. And congrats on the great career. It's been fun to follow. And I know you've gone through a lot. So keep fighting in whatever you do.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
That is Ashby Johnston playing in her final season in Coyote soccer. And then off to see what the world has. But what a career it's been for Ashby Johnston. A couple of seasons ago, she scored 8 goals. She had 4 last year, has a couple on the season this year, battled her way back from injury, and hopefully the best is yet to come for her this season. See if she can help the Coyotes make a run here in the Summit League tournament. Women's basketball season is set to start year number 2 under Carrie Amy. It'll be year number 1 with assistant coach Paul Fessler. We had a chance to catch up this week and talk about his coaching journey that eventually led to South Dakota.
Paul, the season fast approaching. Does it feel like it creeps up on you, or do you ever feel like you're ready for the start of the season?
Well, I don't think you ever feel like you're ready. It creeps up on you. I've been doing this a long time, and it still creeps up on me. You're still, did we get enough stuff in? Do we have this? Or you just want to feel prepared in some way, shape, or form, but you got to go when you got to go, so we better be ready.
You've been one of the new guys at places before, but how often have you been the new guy where the roster has completely turned over and really it's fresh for about everyone?
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I've been in this situation before, showing up trying to replace and rebuild rosters and things like that. So it's nice because everybody's on the same page. You're not trying to fit in or establish yourself because everybody's trying to melt in at the same time. So it makes it kind of fun, makes it enjoyable.
What has the growth process been like for this group? Obviously, 2 players back from last year's roster, so a lot of new players, and there's some talent there. The question is, how do they gel together? How do you try to make this thing mesh early on?
Yeah, that's $1 million question, and if somebody had the answer to that, they'd be very wealthy. But Coral and Liv, the returning players, have done a great job in making everybody kind of comfortable and knowing Vermilion and how things work at South Dakota. They've done a great job with, including myself, you know, I still need direction. So that's been helpful. And then the new players are just wanting to succeed. And so everybody's wanting to succeed as a group, as a team, as a program. It makes it better if they're just looking for individual success.
I know a lot of people, when we hire new coaches, assistants, they're like, why was that person picked? Obviously, you've got a great deal of experience. What's kind of your specialty? How do you fit into the staff?
My specialty is probably being old, right? Seen a lot of things, been around a lot, been in the Midwest predominantly my whole career. So, and very familiar with a lot of the coaches and the leagues and the schedule. So that's probably one of the bigger things. I've been involved in offense quite a bit, in post-play development quite a bit the last few years as I've been an assistant. So that might be one of the reasons that I think I can help contribute to the program.
You've obviously got a lot of experience. You spent a long time as a head coach at Concordia St. Paul. You've been other places, Bradley, Kansas City, Georgia Southern,
you
places like
down,
that.
Yep.
What, when you look at all of these things, how do the conferences differ from conference to conference?
Well, it's pretty wild. You know, when we went on this adventure, my wife and I became empty nesters, and I said, I just want to kind of bounce around and be a D1 assistant and see different things and be involved in different programs. And the conferences do differ. The biggest, not shock, but the biggest one was being in the Sun Belt Conference last year and how they play the game and how that flows. It's just a completely different style. You know, the Missouri Valley is, at Bradley is loaded, is very top heavy. So that was kind of wild, being involved in that kind of talent and trying to rebuild Bradley when we were doing that. Kansas City in the Summit was very aware of how that would play out and familiar. And so it was nice to kind of get back to familiar territory when we moved to South Dakota.
Was it a goal to get back to this area, having you're from Iowa, you've been around Minnesota, you've been around the Midwest, and obviously you took that chance to go down to Georgia. Was it always a goal to get back to this area?
Yeah, it's a goal. Our daughter lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul, so my wife did not enjoy a flight to visit our daughter from Georgia, so, and I didn't either. It was, we went down there to avoid snow, to be honest with you. I was like, oh man, I could use a year without snow. So we went down there, and we discovered we're Midwesterners at heart. We wanted to get back to this area. So when the opportunity arose, it was kind of a no-brainer.
You know, a lot of people, they try to become a head coach, and you had that opportunity, and then you decided to, you mentioned it, bounce around, be a D1 assistant. Do you have a preference? Like, you obviously ran the program for a while, and now you're kind of the assistant. Was it difficult to adjust to not being the final decision maker?
No, that's actually the easy part. There's no stress. I'm pretty sure I'm right when I give my opinion. And then if they use it or not, I can say, told you so, or yeah, I'm glad I didn't make that choice. But no, being an assistant has been really good. I've been very fortunate to work with some quality head coaches. And in going back to being the head coach has just not really been a high priority. It's just a different, my wife likes me much better as an assistant coach. You still take losses hard. You still are heavily involved. You just have different phone calls. You just have different conversations. And I don't miss those phone calls and conversations as a head coach. I like the ones I get as an assistant.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, they don't want that stress of being the head coach, and that's all right, too. Obviously, there's a whole staff for a reason. When you have been a part of staffs, and obviously there's team practices and sometimes individual workouts, do you try to divide it up so that you get a coach per X amount of players?
Well, Carrie does a really good job of letting her coaches go to their strengths, right? So I've been involved in player development, helped her a little bit with the offense, shared, some defensive things that I've learned over the years that kind of melt in what she really likes to do defensively. And, Devin takes on the recruiting, which is perfect, and Dalton, the new coach, has high technical abilities with video and things like that, plus with his skill set, being kind of a big man coach is helpful. So everybody's kind of got their niche, and Carrie lets them grow in that arena.
When it comes to scheduling and some of that and putting together future schedules, how much input is there from the entire staff, and how much is it the head coach of, like, this is the path we want to go down?
Yeah, scheduling is probably my least favorite topic because I always get put in charge of scheduling because they're like, oh, you've been around a while. Take on scheduling.
Right.
So Devin and I work on it together. We have a lot of discussions about how we want to build the non-conference, you know, and it's crazy. We can go to 32 games next year. We only have 16 conference games, so scheduling 16 non-conference is almost impossible. We probably won't build to 32, but now it's like, what teams, you're trying to find an advantage of some sort or a win. Every game has to have some kind of rate of return on it. And so to try and do that, and get people to come to Vermillion, or kind of mix and match where we're at in kind of this rebuild process is a challenge. So yeah, we have a lot of conversations. The nice thing is again, Kerry has the final say. I put out, here's what I think, and then we'll just go from there.
Ultimately, you want to have a lot of home games. Everybody does. But how much as a scheduler do you like or dislike MTEs?
Oh, I don't mind them. Mostly they're neutral court games, which that's fair, right? The thing with MTEs, and we're hoping, because they won't exist really, because they'll just say a flat 32 games here coming up, that in the MTEs you don't have to spend big money to go to these little holiday tournaments. You know, sometimes, you know, come to the Bahamas for 25, 35 grand. Yeah, sure. I don't know where our budget's at. That's another nice thing about not being a head coach. I don't have to worry about it. But I do know, you just don't want to spend that kind of money when you can go to, like, we're going to Pepperdine this year, and it's just travel expenses. There's no investment into paying for officials or these crazy hotel prices or anything like that.
When you were thinking, okay, we're Midwesterners at heart, maybe Georgia's not the place, we need to go back, why South Dakota? Obviously, it's in the Midwest. Kerry Amy had just wrapped up her first year as the head coach here. When you got this conversation started, what did you see from this program that said, man, this could be the next stop?
Yeah, well, Kerry's success rate as a head coach was always appealing. What she did at Nebraska Kearney, you know, you could see early on what they were going to do at Idaho with the players and how that was getting flipped quick. Just her history is just there, and she's structured, she's organized, but she's not willing to listen. She's willing to listen and take on input. Again, she gets final say, which is, that's how it works. But she's not, this is how we're doing it. Is there a better way to do it? And so those are things that really were appealing to me.
When you look at this group right now, what do you see out of this group? Obviously, there's always going to be some learning early in the season. But what do you like about this year's team?
Well, I like the camaraderie early on. I like that we're not settled in on how the rotation's going to look yet. So that means we have competition at spots, which that's always a good thing to have. And so from that standpoint, it's good. We have some length, we have some athleticism, we have some shooters, you know, we have a little bit of mixture of everything. Now we're trying to piece it all together, and they're, as the team, are trying to piece it all together at the same time, learning each other's styles and where they should get the ball, or who can I rely on communicating defensively, as we're trying to build all those things. So as a team, the gelling process is kind of still wait and see. I mean, next week is when we'll find out, right? So, but how it's progressing has been a positive.
We talked about the schedule a little bit. In your mind, how does this year's schedule set up in a way that this team can continue to grow and still be battle tested, ready for the Summit League?
Yeah, we've got some games that challenge us, right, in the non-conference, that will test our resolve and test our competitiveness and see how we'll do against that. We have some games that will let us work out some kinks and can keep growing and develop. And all those things will play into Summit League play. I mean, most mid-majors now are going to be a one-bid league, so your non-conference record isn't as big a priority as maybe it was back in the heyday, and where you can maybe get two bids. So you really need to prepare and build and play your best basketball come February, right? So I think we're built for that. I think that's how it works, especially with our depth. So I think we're on a positive momentum, uphill climb, all in the same as we build towards this season.
As fans watch you on the sideline and be a part of this program and get to know you, what do you hope fans become to understand about Paul Fessler, the assistant coach?
Well, hopefully they understand that I'm calm and relaxed and kind of but I don't know if that's going to play out, because you never lose your competitiveness, right? Even at my age, you're competing, but you're competing on trying to get better. You're competing at where do we improve? Are we up big and still playing the right way? Are we down big and still competing and trying to get better in those moments and win each possession, kind of thing? So unfortunately I might get a little loud, so I don't want people to be like only hear my voice. Everybody's got such a loud voice on the staff. I mean, you can hear them in the practice gym at all times, so you can't be drowning out anybody's voice. You got to let people speak. So I'll be involved. I'll be active. I don't get up and down. That's the nice thing. I can just sit now as an assistant coach. I don't have to be walking the sidelines. I do enjoy that part. But there'll be a lot of collaboration with staff. That again, is one of the nice things working with Carrie. She wants to find the best way to get things done.
All right. Appreciate it very much. Season coming fast next week. Get it underway. Enjoy the last few days of no season, and then have a great season.
I appreciate it. Everybody come out. Cheer for the Yotes. It's going to be an exciting year.
That is Paul Fessler. He is an assistant women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota. Kyle football team is back home this weekend. It's Native American Heritage Game. You've figured out by now all the special things they're doing for that. There'll be more on game day, and should be a lot of fun to celebrate the Native American heritage. And why not? What better game could you have between South Dakota and North Dakota to really, really put a spotlight on the Native American heritage? And so that game kicks off on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Had a chance to catch up with Jack Michaels. He's the play-by-play voice of the UND Fighting Hawks, and he's right now enjoying a great season for North Dakota. Jack, the Fighting Hawks having themselves a tremendous season right now, and I know they got a big finish coming up here on the schedule, but you look at this team, you know, from a year ago to where it is now, what has changed? Just is it certain pieces? What has changed with this group that has allowed it to get off to this great start to the season?
Johnny, I tell you, preseason, as we all know, and with all fairness, I think what ranked preseason seventh, which goes to show you about preseason polls, because we just didn't know what North Dakota, you know, what it was going to be going through a coaching change. Some coaches retained, others not. Some players, as everybody goes through, gone. Others coming in. And one thing you knew, that Eric Schmidt, you know, he's got ties, old defensive stud for North Dakota. And Schmitty, as he goes by, he's out in Washington, San Diego State. He came back in, and it didn't take him long to really establish his philosophies and direct approach and junkyard dog mentality and all that stuff. And oftentimes, sometimes that can be coach speak, but it really is. It has hit home from day one, and he's brought some boys and put them in right fits. That 3-4 defense is now a 4-7 or a 4-2-5, so he's changed some of things like that. And a complete buy-in from this year's group, led by quarterback Jerry Kaminsky, and then, you know, they're running the ball well. There's a lot of things we can get into why they are so far running the table in the Valley, and, you know, maybe three plays away from being undefeated with an FBS win and a Montana road win. But I just think that Eric Schmidt, his staff, what he laid out, John, to these guys, and no-nonsense approach each minute, you know, and truly, it's a lot of buy-in and a lot of guys that have performed at a great level. And it's kind of fun to see. You know, last year, I'll say what else has changed. Last year's schedule was home-friendly early and then road-ravaged late. And once they started slipping on the road last year, it just seemed like a domino effect. Like, oh, on the road again, and boom, got beat again, and on the road again, and bang, got beat again. And it just ended in a bad feel. This year, it's road, home, road, home, road, home. So the schedule has been somewhat, that left-right military type thing, has balanced itself out. So they've been doing pretty good. I mean, it just it truly is it's fun to watch. I don't even know how they're going to finish or what the end is going to look like, but I certainly enjoy watching what we've seen so far.
Well, they've certainly done some good things on the road. Obviously, you mentioned nearly beat Kansas State on the road early in the season, had a chance to beat Montana on the road, which is always a difficult place to play. The one that really turned my head was just a couple of weeks ago when North Dakota went to Carbondale and just absolutely smacked Southern Illinois in that first half of play, got on top of them early. What was working so well on the road for this team to just go there and dominate that game the way they did?
I was too, John. Same thing, because you've been down to Carbondale. Just, I don't care what their mark is, it's tough to play. That was also a day where weather was hitting the country, and we found out on the charter flight, literally before the wheels lifted out, that the game was going to be moved a couple of hours up. So, but again, to Eric Schmidt, he's like, whatever. Yep, great. So it didn't even throw them off their schedule. And what worked there, because Southern Illinois, with that potent offense that they can put out, won the toss, took the ball, and smack, North Dakota stopped him right at the gate. And then, boom, the offense started just rolling, and they put up points. They put up another three and out, bang, got the ball back, and boom, put up points, run, Seidel, Kaminsky doing stuff. And now she's 14-0, then pretty soon it is 28-0 at halftime, and just a wide-open spattering of boos from the Saluki fans, as and you're worried about the quarterback, DJ Williams and two threat, really was not a factor. Took him out of a game plan early, and it was just done so early. And I was wide-eyed thinking, wow, this is not a place you come in and smack an SIU team right in the face, and they don't really respond. And so I'm with you. We were flying the way back going, wow, was that because North Dakota is this good? Or did Southern, just still licking their wounds from a previous loss in Fargo? I don't know, but it was a boxing match. There was a jab early, and an uppercut in the second, and just almost a knockout by halftime.
You look at the rest of the schedule. Obviously, four games left in the regular season for North Dakota, and you just look at how these games line up for them now. They go to South Dakota, obviously, old rivals from way back in the day, have played a lot of really good football games, but then two of the final three at home against North Dakota State and South Dakota State. This is a real chance for this group to say, hey, we've arrived.
It is. It's good to have games. As the Alera Center has become a tough place for, and everybody says this about their stadium, and trust me, North Dakota knows that. This should be the Exercise the Demons tour for UND, because Vermillion hasn't exactly been a fun place for North Dakota football. I think, half of these kids were like either one or just being born the last time North Dakota beat South Dakota in Vermillion. But when you're playing South Dakota State and North Dakota State, and as the stars align, you have it at home, doesn't guarantee anything. But I think North Dakota fans would rather be seeing those for two particular schools at the Alaris than elsewise. So, yeah, you mentioned the four remaining. Obviously, the fit is good. They've picked off NDSU at home before. But, again, I don't know how many teams. You tell me how close North Dakota State's playing at an unbelievable level. So maybe that neutralizes some of that. But you still got to play in South Dakota State, depending on their health. They're still South Dakota State, so you got to neutralize some of those things. But awfully good to have those games at the Alaris as opposed to on the road. But, with this team's mentality, it's not the other teams weren't that way, John, with North Dakota, but this year it's just palpable. It's a feeling like they know things are rivals and all that, but it's almost a whatever, let's go. It's kind of a refreshing, fun feel for this group.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, talk to me about this team. Obviously, the offense runs through Jerry Kaminsky. He's playing at an exceptional level. Only played a few snaps a season ago, but this year has been very efficient with the football. 22 touchdowns, I think it is, against two interceptions. A player who's really taking care of the offense or taking care of the ball and seems to have real command of this offense.
Yeah, you nailed it. He is a coach's son, by the way, too. His dad, high school coach there in Wisconsin. And, you can tell the decision-making that Jerry has is really good. Yeah, he's accounted for a lot of points. 27 total touchdowns this year. You mentioned the 22 touchdown passes and only two picks. And on those, were one, I think one was tipped and the other, his arm was hit. So, I mean, it's he's been really good. It's been fun to watch it, but you know, he's only been sacked like once. You know, in fact, like South Dakota, North Dakota, they don't, I'm knocking on wood as I say this, they don't give up a lot of sacks. So whether you're Jerry Kaminsky or Aiden Bauman, you know, not to have that confidence in an offensive line that you might have some room to operate. Jerry will run it. So just his overall presence combined with Isaac Frickte, an offensive coordinator that has a great feel. But I think on top of Jerry, you know, and a good veteran offensive line, Sawyer Seidel, maybe a $175, $180, dripping wet, but strong and runs between the tackles. Normally these guys, you know, he's not 220-pound bowling ball, but boy, he runs strong, and he has had a nice impact. He is running extremely well. North Dakota did lose Gavin Zebarth, another powerful back, to a collar in that SIU game, by the way, to the collarbone, so he had surgery on that. So they're minus that back, but Seidel has been really good. And then the ability to spread it out. I mean, he utilizes a lot of different receivers, does Jerry, and they'll utilize tight ends, and they'll throw to backs out of the backfield. And B.J. Fleming, who transferred from Northern Arizona, tends to be the home run kind of guy downfield. And, you know, he just it's a good offense with a smart quarterback, coach's son mentality, good decision maker that's protected for the most part, and a team that runs the ball fairly well. It really is a good combination offensively, which is why you're seeing UND put up a lot of points every game.
And defensively, I mean, Malachi McNeil obviously is a big part of that defense. But what stands out to me about that defense is they've got a lot of guys who have TFLs and sacks and really a whole bunch of guys who have similar numbers when it comes to tackle totals. So it seems like a really balanced defense.
Nailed it. That 4-2-5, if you will, that 4-7 that they run, oftentimes you look and it's weird in that defense that say they have a nickel package in there. Well, the nickel is kind of like an edge. You see so many edge rushers for North Dakota. So that rush might be coming from a nickel, might be coming from a different area, and it's disguised pretty well. And Eric Schmidt, the head coach, is he's got that defensive mind, so he kind of coordinates a lot of that. So what you're seeing, yes, you're seeing the team get enough push up front with whatever they're doing defensively as far as stunts and mixes, but also where's that pressure coming from? And when you got a couple of linebackers, you mentioned Malachi McNeil, who is a good veteran leader, or a Lance Rucker that can come off the edge. They're young at one corner, but even Grant Nolan, who's a true freshman corner, you know, he's matured over the year. So it's allowed them to get pressure, be active, head on a swivel, fly around, pressure coming near side, backside, front side, pressures up the middle at times. And, yeah, that's why you're seeing the interceptions up. I think they're +7 in turnover margin. They stripped some balls. It is Caden Vig at a quarterback sack, punched a ball through in Carbondale and ran it back for a touchdown on the edge. So, they're right now having a little fun, and they don't give up a lot of yards on the ground. I say that now as they're about to face one of the premier running backs in South Dakota, but they don't yield a lot on the ground. So they've forced teams into more third and longs or keeping them, down and distance, still deep after first down. So you mix a lot of that in, and it creates a very opportunistic defense that hits. They play a physical brand.
It's South Dakota and North Dakota. Jack, last year, you know, when we had this conversation, we talked about the Sitting Bowl trophy had been retired. You told us by the time we had this matchup this year, you would have a new trophy for South Dakota and North Dakota. How's that process coming along?
Boy, I just said the two states are turning like 134. What are we turning over there? So let us the egg bowl, not EGG. Can we have the egg bowl, the Vermilion Grand Forks, I don't know. The President Harrison Trophy, wasn't he in office when the two states became when they were first born? Tell you what, with it being so circled around Halloween, let's make it the Skittles Bowl. Let's just throw candy in there.
Way better than the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Way better than the Pop-Tart Bowl. Way better than that. That's right, John.
Jack, great stuff. Really appreciate it, man. We'll see you on Saturday. Should be a fun matchup again.
Looking forward to being at that great facility, Dakota Dome, and looking forward, obviously, to two teams that love to knock it around a little bit, John. Thank you.
That is Jack Michaels. He is the voice of the Fighting Hawks. They're having a great season under first-year head coach, and they are unbeaten in league play. Coyotes trying to hand them their first loss in Valley play on Saturday inside the Dakota Dome, a great rivalry, and highlighting Native American Heritage Day as well as part of it. Should be a fun Saturday in the Dakota Dome. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. It continues to be busy, 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 and that's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. Coyote swim and dive team will host the Coyote Extravaganza on Friday and Saturday, so there'll be some activity going on in the new pool along the Wellness Center on both Friday and Saturday. Check that out if you get the chance, the Coyote Extravaganza, again in the new pool attached to the Wellness Center. Volleyball plays Thursday night. They're in St. Paul, Minnesota to take on St. Thomas. Saturday will be a busy day. Cross-country championships are in Omaha, so the Summit League cross-country championships will run, and we'll see how the Coyotes do in that. Football takes on 8th-ranked North Dakota at 1 o'clock inside the Dakota Dome on Saturday, and then volleyball is set to play at South Dakota State on Saturday night. You can catch that game on the Summit League Network. Coyotes trying to even up the regular season series with the Jackrabbits. By the way, the football game on the Coyote Sports Network, pregame coverage at 12 o'clock with a kickoff at 1. You can also watch it on ESPN Plus and Midco Sports. Sunday, women's soccer takes on Kansas City in the Summit League Tournament in Vermilion. 1 o'clock start time. See if the Coyotes can advance on to the semifinals, which would be down in Tulsa, Oklahoma later on the week. Basketball gets underway on Monday, 5 p.m. in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Women's basketball will take on York University, and then at 7:30, it's men's basketball against Utah Tech to kick off the season. Looking ahead to the middle of next week, men's basketball will play at Creighton on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You can hear all of the games on the Coyote Sports Network from Learfield. That's it for us this week. My name is John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.